Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 19 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. So in episode number 16, which is fairly recent, we talked with Tiffany Knight of Work Bar in Boston about what it takes to be a community manager. And if you haven't listened to that episode, definitely check it out. She shares a lot of helpful insight and tips if you're in the market for hiring a community manager. Her background is in photography and marketing and fell in love with co-working. And she talks a little bit about what the day in the life of a community manager looks like. Chaotic multitasking are a couple of adjectives that she uses. And we talk about how you probably need to be a pretty serious extrovert to survive the role. So ironically enough, shortly after interviewing Tiffany, I was faced with hiring my own community manager. So my community manager in Chicago is moving on, which we'll cover in a minute, and it was time to replace her. So I, you know, it was a great time to reflect on where the business is and what makes sense in terms of the right profile for community manager. And this is still a pretty new role. So I Googled community manager job description. And if you Google just that, you get a lot of examples and blog posts talking about hiring, typically for a virtual community manager who's managing like a social media, you know, online communities for bigger companies. So there aren't a lot out there for community managers for co-working space, which is not virtual at all. It's totally in person. And that, you know, can be quite different. So I post my job description in the show notes of this episode, and we'll talk a little bit about the process here. So first of all, let's talk about the title. So Alex Hillman, who has his own podcast show, when I Googled, he came up and I've listened to either, it was either a blog post or a podcast. We'll include the links in the show notes about how much he hates the term co-working manager, which I totally get, because in his sort of philosophy, you're not, which I think a lot of us are aligned with, you're not managing a community, you are facilitating a community. And I'm not sure he uses the word facilitate, but that's my perspective on it. You know, you are a connector, you are a listener, you are the one who has the pulse on, you know, what everybody's looking for, how everybody's doing. You're making connections, you're giving people attention when they need it. You know, you're helping the community sort of flourish and become sort of its own living being, and helping other people sort of, you know, take part community manager roles, so that you're not, it's not only you who's influencing what's happening in the community, which I think is the spirit of what he's saying. That being said, I think community manager is a really easy term, and it's starting to become, you know, kind of an industry standard. And so people understand broadly what that means. So if you are posting a job description, I think Alex likes the word Tumblr, and I don't think anyone out there would know what a Tumblr is. So I think community manager might be the right place to at least start for a job description, a title for a job description. But I will tell you that that is not the title that I decided to use this time, which was the first time. I've hired a number of community managers and always used that title. And for reasons we'll talk about in a second, did not do that this time. So where to post? So I have in the past posted to Craigslist with some success. My Palo Alto manager came from Craigslist, and this time had really strong recommendations for Indeed and LinkedIn. And I did not use the job posting function in LinkedIn. It is very expensive. I think it's $350. So I thought I would see what I could come up with candidates from Indeed and just posting to my network in LinkedIn. And I did receive a number of inquiries from just posting to my network, which is great. Indeed is interesting. So I'll tell you a little bit about my experience. So I posted and then did a pay-per-click package so that you're basically paying to get more better placement of your job ad and more placement, kind of like how Google AdWords works, could be an analogy. So I was spending like a dollar for every click, and I was really disappointed in the first like 3 days of results. I was getting so I like to use a little trick and include very specific instructions at the top of the post. And if they don't follow the instructions, then I immediately delete the app and it's easy for me to screen. So the instructions at the top of the app said, you know, please include a cover letter and address it to, and I include my name. So for the first 2 to 3 days, I had like one person who actually followed those instructions, which was horribly demoralizing. So just really poor quality of candidates. And I think there are a lot of people out there looking for jobs right now. And one of the challenges with these posting sites is that people can just automatically send their resume, click a link and send a resume with absolutely no effort. And then you on the other end are forced to, you know, scroll through those and filter out the ones that didn't put any additional effort in. So took some time. For some reason, after the first 2 or 3 days, the quality started to improve. And the other thing that happened is that I spent a lot of money on the clicks. So I was trying to decide what to do and whether I was going to post somewhere else. And I stopped paying for the clicks. And ironically, I kept getting clicks and the quality was good. So I have this theory that when you pay for clicks, you're getting a large audience that may or may not be all that qualified, but you're paying to get more eyeballs. And when I stopped paying, I think you move further down on the, you know, the listing pages, but people who are truly job searching and willing to put in the effort are looking through the listings in pretty great detail. So I was still getting candidates and they were more qualified than when I was paying for the listing, which is probably not how Indeed wants it to work, but that was the experience that I had. So just kind of a tip there. You might want to experiment a little bit. So I, for some reason, after the first few days, pretty consistently people were following directions. So the other interesting thing I did, which I'd never done before, was I used an app called Spark Hire for the first step app. So it's the second step, technically. After the cover letter, I sent messages through Indeed to the folks that I thought looked like good potential candidates and asked them to complete a series of questions via video using an app called Spark Hire. And I'll include a link to that in the show notes. So they would receive an invitation from Spark Hire and a list of, I just did 3 questions. I didn't want it to be, you know, a step that would kick people out of the process that might be qualified because they were intimidated to do a lot of videos. But I wanted it to be enough that I could get a sense of their personalities and how they interact. And, you know, if they could, I assumed they'd probably never recorded videos for a job interview either. And so could they sort of hang and do something different and new and, you know, roll with it and get it done. And I also gave them only 24 hours to do it. So I didn't want them to think about it for too long. I wanted them to just, you know, answer the questions and send it in so I could keep the process moving. And also so that they didn't kind of get hung up on that part of the process. So I'll include my list of questions in the show notes as well. But that was a great way to sort of screen through kind of first impressions without actually having to schedule time to talk to them. So it used to be I'd go straight to a phone screen. You know, it's a little bit hard to get a real sense of somebody on the phone, and it also takes up a lot of your time. So this is a really neat way to get a sense for folks, you know, via video and to see if they could sort of deal with the technology and doing something totally new. And I think for all of them, it was the first time they'd ever done that. So that was a really useful part of the process. And then I did a Skype interview with them since I was not in Chicago at the time, and then had my community manager do the in-person interview. So that was kind of our process. So that kind of covers where to post. I posted on Craigslist the very, very beginning and never upped the post again. So it just got buried and we got very few candidates. So I did everything through Indeed and LinkedIn and then some things through my personal network. And the person we ended up hiring was from Indeed.com. So what happened to my current manager? I want to address this one because I think it's something you might want to consider if you're hiring a community manager. So this actually happened to my two most recent community managers in Chicago. So I had 2 part-time folks and that just happened to work with their schedules. So the first one was very part-time and was decided she wanted more hours and ended up getting recruited by a former member. Who had gotten their own office space. Their company had grown significantly. I mean, they had space down the street and they had reached out to her. And she was very, very part-time, so that was fine. We were able to make up those hours through manager who has left. So what happened with her is she had mentioned very casually to a member who was in our space, partly because they were building an office in Chicago that would not be ready for a year. And she'd got to know them and they were a great part of the community. And she had said kind of in an offhand way to them, hey, you know, in about a year, I might be interested in doing something different. And so I know your office will be open. Keep me in mind. And she's already been with me for 2 years. So 3 years, I think, in a community manager role is probably even more than a lot of us would see on average. So not crazy for her to be mentioning that. But they got very excited because they liked her so much, which if you have a great community manager is going to happen, and started, you know, pushing pretty hard to recruit her for a role that they had open today out in the suburbs, which was not something that was really a fit for her in terms of the commute. But through talking with them, big company, lots of benefits, some great opportunities for her, she eventually decided to do it. So my philosophy is everyone should be working in the role or for the company that is the best fit for them at any given time. So I don't think I personally am going to make any changes, but do realize that your community manager will have a lot of exposure, or community managers, plural, a lot of exposure to companies that are potentially growing and hiring, and people like to hire people that they know, like, and trust, and they will know, like, and trust your community manager and may try to poach him or her. So if you want to avoid that issue, you might want to put something in your membership clause, your membership agreement, a clause that says something about not poaching any employees of your company. And I don't have that, so I don't have a sample language clause for you. If anybody listening happens to have one, send it to me and I'll include it in the show notes. But I've seen it before in other companies. It's a very common thing to do for, like, agencies who are working with bigger companies to avoid that happening. So again, know that it probably happens more than we know. It makes sense that it would happen. So if you want to avoid it, you might want to put a clause in your membership agreement and in your employment agreement. So I am very happy for my manager because she's going to a place that's a great fit for her. But it also opened up for me, makes sense for me to have a full-time community manager given the size of space that we have. So, you know, it's challenging to have a couple of different people who, you know, you have to give them time to overlap so that they can catch each other up on who's doing what and what tours have been in. And of course, you know, you have a CRM system who can help manage that. But, you know, you still need a lot of sort of communication among the two, and things can get lost. So for me, I was excited about the idea of the opportunity to change the role to be one full-time person that I can always, you know, have a consistent person to interact with, and members have one consistent person as well. So let's talk about the job description. So I'm going to post a link to that in the show notes. So I actually did something that is not very common in the co-working world yet. So it's become pretty industry standard that people call the community manager a community manager, and that's what the role gets listed under. So I had some coaching from a mentor who suggested that one of the things that I really need my community manager to do more of is marketing. So of course it's important to have someone who's engaging with members, scheduling member activities, and doing all the things that community managers do to nourish a community. But without members, you don't have a community. And Chicago is an example of a market that is very, very competitive. The last time I counted, and I'll include a link to this in the show notes too, I mapped out all of the spaces that are sort of official staffed spaces in Chicago back in March, and there were about 40 at the time. And I know that more have come online since then. So it's a pretty, including, I should mention, two WeWork locations and one more coming. So there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of support supply in the market, and a lot of folks will say the demand may not have quite caught up yet. So marketing is a pretty important component of running a co-working space in a market like Chicago. It is not for, so I have a space also in Palo Alto, and that is not, it's not the same. It's the, in Palo Alto, real estate is so expensive and difficult to get that co-working spaces are just easier from a marketing perspective. And I feel kind of fortunate in a weird way to have, you know, two spaces in very different markets so that I can learn a little bit about how different markets operate. But Chicago, you gotta spend some time and some dollars on marketing. So my mentor said, your manager needs to, you know, in addition to the community management and the operations management component, needs to be spending time marketing. Not doing strategic marketing. She's going to do, you know, we'll create a plan. We have a plan that, you know, we generally work on, but she will help really execute some of those things. And some of those things are easier done, you know, by her than by me. So we created a job description that is a little bit more marketing focused, and I gave it a marketing title. I called it marketing coordinator. And that is because one of the top searches on Indeed.com is for marketing roles. And so I wanted to pull in people with a marketing background that also would make really strong community managers. So this is a little, you know, it's an approach that's not taken very often and may not be received very well by the purists who want really pure community managers. But I wanted to find someone who I thought would be a fit for both. And I'm going to mention, I think, based on my interview in episode number 16 with Tiffany Knight, who has a marketing background, I think you can absolutely find someone with both. And have a lot of synergies there. But as I mentioned, I think that's a really personal decision to make, and it may be very market dependent. So in Palo Alto, it's not as important. Although I do, my manager in Palo Alto also happens to have a marketing background. So, you know, one other thing that I found throughout the process, which I haven't focused on as much before, but felt this time that it was important, is when you hire a community manager, if it is a full-time, and our Chicago space is a size right now where we only need one full-time person. So she is her own team, right? So I am on her team, and then my Palo Alto manager is on her team, but she does not have other people who work for the same company, which can be a very unique sort of situation for people who are used to working on teams or for bigger companies. So that I would just notice something that I wanted to make really, really clear in the interview process, because I did not want someone to be surprised by that after they started the job, because you don't want to train someone and have them leave. One other thing that I struggled with that's not apparent in the job description is, how do you manage events, and does the community manager staff those events? So if it's a full-time person, do you make it sort of their job to also handle events? And I checked with a couple of other co-working space owners, and they admitted to also struggling with this question. So the way I handled it was, I in the actual job offer that I sent to the candidate, we capped the number of hours that she would spend staffing events in any given week, and decided that I will hire a separate events manager when our event schedule goes over her allotted number of hours. So those are a few things that I considered when I was doing my recent hiring of a marketing coordinator. So go ahead and take a look at the show notes. We've included a lot of links in there that might be helpful, including the link to the job description. And if you have any comments or questions, I'd love to hear them. I don't think that there is one way to approach this for anyone, but I think it's something we all think about and try to get better and maybe evolving over time as the co-working industry evolves and we all have a lot more experience about what it takes to run a successful space in a particular market. So I'd love to hear from you if you have any comments or questions. We are on Twitter and Facebook, and email is jamie@everythingcoworking.com. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.